So I think it's about time to begin. Hope we have an organist here tonight. Daniel Smith, Dave. And I would like to begin with singing from 135. 135. All stanzas. Hear this, all ye people, hear. Earth's inhabitants give ear, and what follows in all five stanzas, 135. Like to begin with reading from Scripture from Psalm 38. Psalm 38. And there are the verses 1 to 15. Psalm 38, verses 1 to 15. Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As in heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. So far the reading of the scripture, and we will try to seek the Lord's countenance now. Lord of heaven and of the earth, when in this evening we have come together with some, and we plan to have an evening that we begin some instruction, and that we hope to be able to also give something to our members during this season, which might be a useful and beneficial to some extent. Lord, and we ask thee, may it be in thy favor. May thou give that also these means may be blessed, and may be blessed to our never-dying souls, that sinners might be converted also by means of a Bible class. That is by no means impossible, because also there thy word must be central also in an evening as this. And when thou wouldst use that word by thy Spirit, then thou couldst also open blind eyes in this evening. Lord, we ask thee, may that be the fruit of it, that we have come together, or that we listen by the church telephone. And grant that also thy children may be instructed a little bit more in the way of salvation. Lord, thou knowest also their questions and their riddles and their strifes, and sometimes it is as if they are not in thy way, as if their way is not in thy words, as if no one has such a special way, such a strange way as they do. But Lord, may it then be that thou might use also these instructions for their blessing, for their benefit. that they might feel that thou knowest of them, that the way they go is not strange, but is the way of all thy people, and that that way leads to an eternal adoration. Oh, that thou doesn't make mistakes, but that thou goes straight toward the purpose, toward the goal of all thy dealings. There's the honor of thy name, but also the salvation of thy church. Help us, Lord, in conducting this Bible class and giving some guidance. And will thou teach us thyself, so that we may be able to teach others. We commend unto thee the congregation, with all the needs which are known to thee, the needs of widows and widowers and orphans and sick ones and elderly ones. May we specially commend unto thee her who today had surgery, and as we heard, they have operated her, and the operation was successful in such a way that she came through it, and that the reports are favorable so far. But Lord, thou knowest also what lies ahead. Give a thankful heart that thou hast spared hitherto, and give that we may acknowledge thee also for this blessing. But the concerns are many yet, because of the illness that is diagnosed, and Lord, her life is in thy hand. Be merciful to her, visit her with thy salvation, and give rest and submission to thy way, and may it work together for her good. Bless her husband, give him strength, and the children as well. And Lord, be with all who wait upon thy blessing. And we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Also, the mission fields, may we commend unto thee those who are working in thy kingdom. Oh, Lord, that thou may encourage them and strengthen them. Because there is one who tries to shut a mouth, and if possible, to ruin everything. But Lord, will thou give strength and courage to thy people, to thy children, to thy servants, and to those who may labor in thy vineyard, that thou might increase their number, that thou may grant unto them that they may look up to thee, from whence only their help can come. Be also with our brother and the missionary minister and his wife. We commend him also unto thee, Lord, where he had to stay longer than the intention was when he came, because of the weakness of his body. There thou hast given some improvement, and we ask thee may that continue, Lord, so that he may regain his strength, and at thy time may return to his field of labor, to his people. Make all things well, Lord, and do not put him to shame, but give that his eyes also may be upon the unchangeable, faithful God of the covenant, all to bring the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Help us also, Lord, in this evening. Will thou remember us together with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and give us a good evening, we ask thee, in the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Bunyan, first a little bit about his life. Born in 1628 in a little town with about 50 families in Elstow, near Bedford in England. He's a very naughty boy as young kid and young teenager. Very naughty. Became notorious for his behavior. And didn't become better when his mother died. He was about 16 years old at that time, when he had to miss his mother. When he was 17, he was enlisted in the military service, and he had to serve in the army for his country. And he nearly lost his life there, but the Lord wonderfully, miraculously spared him one time when he had to go to battle the enemy. Then he was not assigned to be among that group that had to go out, but he was assigned to go out, but one of his fellow soldiers asked him whether he could take his place, and if he would take his place the next time. So, and that's what happened, and the man who took his place was killed in the battle that evening. It could have been Bunyan himself. The Lord spared him because he had still a plan, a purpose for Bunyan. When he was 20 years old, he married with a girl, 19 years old, a young girl, very poor, but she was, didn't bring much money with her, but was a decent girl, much more decent than John Bunyan was. And, she didn't take much money along, but she took two books along. You had the Bible, but then two books. The one book had its title, The Practice of Piety, and the other, The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven. His wife was a very serious-minded girl, young woman, and she wanted to do all she could to educate her husband, who could not even read or write. She taught him reading, and she read for him from those books. And it pleased the Lord to give some impressions in his heart about what he heard from those books. But he still went on his own way, especially on Sunday. He went to the ball fields and sported the games and desecrated the day of the Lord, until one time that he suddenly heard a voice, a very warning voice, the voice of God, that spoke to him. And he trembled. He left the place where he was, and he fled home. From that time on, there were convictions in his life, and he changed his life outwardly. He became religious, began to attend the Anglican Church. Didn't get food for his soul, but his soul did not long for food either at that time. And so he became religious and tried to become a good man. He tried to establish his own righteousness. And yet he couldn't find rest for his troubled soul. More and more convictions came in his heart. And one day then he walked in the street and he heard three, four women talking. And he caught something of what they were saying. They were talking about regeneration, about a new birth, and about the life of God's people. And that really, that struck him and impressed him. He felt he missed that with all his decent, or rather decent life at the moment. He was missing what those women were talking about. And he was not shy. He went up to them and he asked them what it was. And they explained it further. And they referred him to a certain Mr. Gifford, a pastor of a chapel, a Baptist chapel. And there he came into contact with Mr. Gifford. Good that you remember that name, because that man will come back in the Pilgrim's Progress, not with that name, but under the name of Evangelist. And it pleased the Lord to use the preaching of Mr. Gifford, Pastor Gifford, to bring Bunyan under deep convictions. His rest was gone, and he came under terrible attacks of the devil. It was as if the devil sense that the Lord was going to use this vessel as a chosen vessel to bring his name to, not to the Gentiles, but to many people, and that he would be an instrument in God's hand to the extension of his kingdom, and Satan did all that he could to destroy the man, to drive him, as to bring him to despair, terrible attacks of the devil. Then he attacked him with, "Yeah, you have committed a sin against the Holy Ghost. There's no forgiveness for you anymore. There's no hope. Sins against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. That's what you did. You cursed. You were swearing." He was notorious for his swearing. And his poor Bunyan, Tinker, he was at that time, many times feared that there was no hope for him, that it was done. And at other times he was attacked with election, that he was not one of the elect. And then no matter what he would do, he could never become one of the elect anymore, because that happened in eternity. And it would be, without any purpose to pray and to seek and to go to church, because he would be a reprobate. Now, these and other things caused a heavy turmoil in the life of Bunyan. You will find it back sometimes also in the Pilgrim's Progress, because they also find his own life back. Therefore, I have to tell something about his life. And he also saw that he was under the heavy judgments of God. Yet there came a time that it pleased the Lord to give a ray of hope in his life, that a little gospel light fell into his heart, that he heard there is still a place. There is still a place. Not in hell, but there is a place of escape. And all that, it was as if the Lord said to the dove in the cleft of the rock, "Let me now hear your voice and show me your countenance. Tell me all your troubles." He also got a hold of a book of Luther about the Galatians, and he read it with much fruit for his soul. And gradually the light began to shine clearer in his heart, until one time he heard, "Thy righteousness is in heaven." Oh, then he saw that with all what he was and what he remained in himself, that righteousness in the Lord Jesus was not just for others, but also for him. And he was as a new man. There it was the time that he also could confess in whom he had believed. And upon confession, he was baptized in 1653, was 25 years old at the time, by Mr. Gifford. Soon after that, there came request to Bunyan to speak. And they said, "Bunyan, I think you should speak a word to us." And first for the little group, but when they heard about it, he got more and more requests, and soon he was a preacher. You know that went a little different in that time than the ordinary way is of theological school and training. And we should never take the extraordinary as a norm, because then we would tempt the Lord. But the Lord has given sometimes men who were qualified in an extraordinary way. So 1653, he began to preach, and for 7 years he could do that without any, with enmity and opposition, but not without any hindrance. But in 1660 he was put into prison. And it was a sad time. Also that time his wife died, and he stayed behind with some young children. He happily remarried with a young woman whose name was Elizabeth, and she has been a big help for him, but her husband was for many years in prison, 12 years. First years were not too bad. He could still go out once in a while, and the jailer, the prison keeper, let him out sometimes, say, "If you are back by 10, 11, okay, So please be quiet. But yeah, the last 7 years, then it was very strict, and he was in a dungeon with the worst criminals, and they thought, yeah, so to harass him, to put him by the worst and roughest, most rough criminals. But yeah, that was just an opportunity for Bunyan also to bring the word to those criminals. And finally he was released, and the Lord gave him more years to labor in his vineyard. He died when he was worn out at the age of 60, and 6088 he passed away in London, where he also preached from time to time, sometimes for 3,000 people. And his deathbed, he saw the gate of heaven open and entered into the celestial city. Now, when Bunyan was in prison, then he thought about his congregation, and he wanted to write something. And while he was writing a few points, then something came in his mind, and he wrote it down, and more points, and before he knew, he was writing the Pilgrim's Progress, which became in one of the most famous works in the world. We have heard how the Lord converted him and used him in his vineyard, and he may speak after he passed away yet through his writings. Many other writings may be known to you, and they are very precious writings and very sound. I would encourage you to read more of Bunyan than just the Pilgrim's Progress. Come and Welcome to Christ, for instance. I read his biography, Grace Abounding for the Chief of Sinners. But we now will stay with the Pilgrim's Progress. It begins with, that he says, I went through the wilderness and I came by a cave, a den. That was Bunyan himself. And that wilderness, you understand what that is. That is the world. Maybe there are people tonight who are traveling with a Bunyan, and or sometimes also sitting in a den. But there he fell asleep. I think it was, in spite of all the trials and troubles there in that prison, that den, that is a picture of the prison where he was. There it was, I laid me down and slept, like Psalm 3 says. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And then he dreamed. And in his dream he saw, and there the Pilgrim's Progress begins, he saw a man. A man just like you and I, but four things I'd like to say of that man. First of all, his clothes were rags, torn apart, filthy, and worn out. His clothes were rags. Secondly, when you look at him, his face, you see that this house and city, and his face is turned away from his house. That also catches our attention. And then, in the third place, we see he has a book in his hand. And then, fourth thing is, I see a great burden on his back, a heavy burden. And then I see him reading in that book that he has in his hand. And I see him being very distressed. Who is this man? It is the pilgrim of Pilgrim's Progress. But no doubt it's a lot about what Bunyan has experienced himself. What does it mean that his clothes were rags? Well, that means that this man was a sinner, and that his best works, according to Isaiah 46:6, were filthy rags. That's the first thing. So the man you see there is a sinner. And what a blessing it is if he begin to learn to know what that is. And will continue to know what that is till the end of our life. Secondly, we see his face turned away from his house. What has happened with this man? He has been turned around. We call that conversion. Something has happened in his life. By nature, we stand and live and walk with the face toward the world and the devil and sin and the lust of the flesh, and with our back turned toward God. But it's necessary that we are turned around. And if it was a burden becomes a delight, and that which is was a delight becomes a burden, and that the directions of our life, of our heart, goes out after God, turned away from his house, from the world, toward God. That's the second thing. So it is a sinner, but something has happened with this sinner. The Lord has turned him around. Begins here inside. But it will be seen also in their life. You know what happened? Oh, what we read in Luke 14, verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. This is the beginning. Turning away from all what he has. You know what happened in his life? Psalm 45 verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. What happened with the man? One more example. Abram. Remember? Get thee out of thy land, out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. That is, for a missionary, for someone who goes to another country, but that is also true for each one who is called out of darkness to God's marvelous light. So that's the second thing. Turned away, you see him, rags, he's a sinner, but something has happened. Turn has come in his life. He's not just a changed man, but a man who has been turned around. Third thing is, he has a book in his hand. That is the Bible. This man will be a scriptural Christian. That's necessary. Scripture must be the norm. And this has become his book. That still happens. When the Lord begins to work, this becomes your book. The book. Not one of the book. Oh, then you begin to search the scriptures. Then you get taste for it, hunger, thirst for it. He has a book in his hand. Then there's a burden, great burden. And when I look at it, saw the pictures of it, it has the color of scarlet. Even when thy sins are as scarlet, it is the burden of sin. It has become a burden to him, because we all have sin and are sinners, but we don't bear a burden. But sin has become a great burden to him. It has become something that weighs him down, that makes him downcast and depressed. Then he's reading in that book. And when you see him reading, I can see it at his face. Oh, he is moved by it. He weeps. Why does he weep? Well, he reads in that book about his sin and about his guilt and about what he has done. And I hear him talking. He suddenly says, "What shall I do?" The man is in distress. Is in deep distress when I see him there standing with his filthy garments, with his rags. Oh, he is in distress. And after a while, he goes home. Sure, he does not say to his wife when she sees him, "Now I'm converted." He doesn't say anything about what's going on. He tries to hide it. Still, something that happens, maybe there are those amongst us who can identify with that. They are trying what all they can to hide, to conceal. But it doesn't go well. And it doesn't, he cannot do it for a long time. Maybe just for an hour, a couple hours. And then his mouth is opened. And he begins to talk to his wife and children. And he expresses his deep distress. Oh, my dear wife, he says, and children, my flesh and blood. It is love which causes him to speak. He cannot let them go. Because he begins to speak about not only the burden on his back, but he knows, he has read in the Word of God that that city in which he lives, the city of destruction, will be burned and will be destroyed. And he says, if we stay here, if we don't get out of it, then we will also be destroyed. You too, my wife and my dear children. They look at him, they think, what a strange man. What's happening with him? We never saw him this way. It is just like he's not in his right mind. He is a little bit out of balance. He should have rest. So they bring him to his bed and put him in bed. I say, now rest. Then your brain and your head, that gets rest. Then tomorrow you will not talk so strange anymore. And there they leave him. And we see him there in his bed. He turns from the one side to the other. He cannot sleep. All his sins, that burden, and that danger, that sword of God's wrath that hangs above the city and above himself. He has no rest. He cannot sleep. Next morning, his wife and children come to his room. And did you sleep? Yeah. No, he has not slept at all. And he begins to talk again about the danger and about his distress. And this time, no, they have no pity with him. They begin to laugh. They begin to ridicule him. They begin to mock with him. Oh, they just try to make a laughing stock of him. And this man, pilgrim, he endures that. And in his heart is pity. It wounds him, but he also feels that they were blind like he was. And as soon as he goes to a quiet place, a room, his bedroom, and he bows his knees and he pours out his heart to the Lord and asks the Lord to be merciful to himself and also to his wife and to your children. And also the next hours and days, he seeks the lonely places. He takes a walk in the field. But the distress doesn't become less, but it grows by the hour. Oh, finally, we hear him crying, "What must I do to be saved?" And then he sees a man coming, tall man, dignified person. And a man who is called evangelist must have been Mr. Gifford, at least in his dream, a servant of God. We read in 2 Timothy, warning you or speaking a word in season to your soul, or and maybe another child of God that gives some instruction. Evangelist. And that evangelist asked him a question, "Why do you cry?" See, that's still the Lord's method to try to draw souls out. He says to Mary, "Why weepest thou?" And he says to the man in Bethesda, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And he begins to open the conversation with the Samaritan woman by a request for water. So the Lord has his ways to draw somebody out. And so these evangelists does that too. "Why do you cry?" I waste congregation, friends, that we also would meet people, and I know they keep that for themselves, but that you might see and feel, this person is in so distress. Why do you cry? And at the pilgrim, he answers, yeah, I read in this book, I read two things. I have to die. That's number one, that you read it too. Have to die. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And then, secondly, he read that he has to appear before the judge. He has to stand there, cannot escape that. Will happen, and he cannot stand before. He doesn't want to die, and he cannot stand before the judge. And he says, that's what I read in this book. And then the evangelist, he asked him a question again. He said, and it was a time of war and many conflicts in that time, war, and it was a terrible time in England at the time of Bunyan. So evangelist says, but friend, why do you like to stay here in this world? It is a terrible time. It is a terrible world in which you are living. Why are you afraid to leave this world? Would you like to remain here always? And the pilgrim answers, he says, I fear that when I die, that burden on my back, that burden on my sin, that will cause me to sink lower than the grave. That will cause me to sink into Topheth, that is, into hell. Oh, he says, I'm afraid that a burden will cause me to sink, as it were, through the grave, into hell. And that is my burden, that is my fear. And then evangelist said, but why do you stand here then? And why are you standing here so? And you're standing here looking around, and you stand where you are, and you don't walk. And he says, yeah, because I don't know where to go. I would like to flee, but I don't know where to go. I don't know the way. And then evangelist gives him a scroll. As the old Bible books were written on scrolls, you unfolded them. And he gives him a scroll, and he opens that, and he reads this. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. Oh, that is the first word, as it were, that sinks into his heart. Flee from the wrath to come. And then pilgrim looks at evangelist, and he wonders. He says, yeah, but where must I flee? I don't know the way that I must go. Do you know that two friends, are they those who have heard that voice, that haste ye for your life's sake? But he said, Lord, I don't know the way. I don't know where to go. Where must I flee? Then evangelist points to a big field, a plain. It's quite a distance, but there he says, do you see there at the end of that plain, far, a little at a distance, do you see there that wicked, with a T at the end, gate, as an old English word, that means the small, that narrow gate. Do you see that? Pilgrim says, no, I cannot see it. I know I don't see that gate. Then he said, well, do you see that light then shining by that gate? And he says, yeah, I think I see some light. I don't see the gate, but I see some light. Well, evangelist says, fix then your eyes on that light. Don't look away from it. That's where you must go. Fix your eyes on that light and go and go, and you will come by that narrow gate. And if you come there, knock at the door, somebody will open to you and will tell you what you have to do. So there you must go. And don't postpone. Oh, what is there light? was the gate. Oh, friend, I think you know what a gate is. I am the way and the truth and the life. That gate points to that only way of escape, that only mediator, that only savior. But he doesn't see him. He doesn't know him. He is hidden from him. But what he sees is light. There is some light that he sees. What is that light? Well, we read in 2 Peter 1 verse 19, we always have to go back to scripture. We're not just talking about pilgrim's progress, but about what God's word says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, pilgrim, that you take heed, look at it, search it, read it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Oh, that is that light that he sees. Tis the light of the word of God, the light of that word that speaks of the way of escape, that there is forgiveness, that there is an escape, even if he doesn't see the mediator, doesn't know the mediator, but it says that there is a way. Because that light is not the light of the law. That light that he sees is the light of the gospel. Is the light of a glimmering of hope. Is the light of... Yeah, that there is a way to escape the punishment and to be received into God's favor. But who that way is, who that gate is, how to go through the gate, he doesn't know. But yet, what does evangelist do? He doesn't point him to the workhouse. He doesn't say, well, friend, there is something, but I'm not going to talk about it yet. No, I tell you, you must be so and so and so, and much more humbled, and much more this and that, and much more experience, and much more distressed, and much more improvement in your life, and much more worthy before I will call you. And point you. No, he begins to point him there already, in the very beginning, to that only gate, to that only way. There's the task of ministers, not to send them to Moses. Not to send them to the workhouse. Not to make them a rich young ruler. But to send them to that only way. To preach that only name. And no other. Other preaching is no right. Congregation. And then the Lord himself will make room for it. Oh, he doesn't know him yet. He doesn't see him yet. He doesn't understand it. He says that I don't see the gate. But he sees the light. He's the light of the promises. There's now the light of the promises. There may be one promise comes in the heart of such a struggling soul. Oh, a call upon me in the day of trouble. For instance, I will deliver thee. Or, seek me early, he will find me. Or, a word that speaks of that there is forgiveness. Psalm 130, there is forgiveness, but how he doesn't know, where he doesn't know, who he doesn't know, but there is a way, light. And he says, now look at that light. Keep that in note, don't look at your work, don't look at yourself, but look at that light. Fix your eyes on that light and go. And there he goes, he begins to run. He doesn't postpone for a moment, because a city can be burn down any moment. And then his wife and children see him running away, and now they think that's no good, and they try to run after him and cry, stop, stay here, remain with us. And they do all they can to keep him back, but he puts his fingers in his ears. He doesn't want to hear the voices which touch his heart. He puts his fingers in his ears. And he cries, life, life, eternal life. Because he saw there is life. That is something for one who is condemned to death, who saw nothing but death. There is life. So he cries out, life, life, eternal life. That's what I must have. There is death. Here is death. And in myself is nothing. And he runs. He doesn't look back like the wife of Lot. He looks at that light. And he goes on the plain. Many trials will wait for him, much strife, many obstacles. He's not there by the gate yet, but it's the beginning. He stops. Is there such a beginning in your life? Do you understand this? If you have questions, ask them. We will sing. 391. And then, the deacons will collect any questions, then I hope they give them soon to me. 391, and if necessary, we sing one more, but for now, 391, when morning lights the sky, the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show, and to teach me the way that I should go, I lift my soul to thee. 1, 2, 3, and 4 of 391. Maybe you did not expect a collection, that's not too bad, but for now we will do it also. Yeah, go ahead. Then I get my questions and we plan to have a collection on each time. But one question, but if there was one who wants to ask him straight from the audience, that's fine, but you were not prepared for that anyway, but I would appreciate a few questions, if that helps you. The question is this: are God's people concerned about going to hell or to be restored in God's favor? As a good question, it seems that when you hear Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrim there, that he is just afraid that the city will be burned and that he will perish. So you got the impression that in that beginning, there is only the fear of hell and the fear of God's wrath, and that is the only reason that he is in such a deep distress. You don't read that that missing of God and that separation. So the emphasis is strongly on the fear for God's wrath. Now, I would like to say this. I think that in the life of each awakened sinner, there is fear for the wrath of God. There is a concern about going to hell because it becomes reality to them. Things they have heard all their life may have given some stirrings, but then, left them again and never became real in their life. They passed by like a morning cloud. But when the Lord really sends an arrow of his grace in our life, then it becomes reality that I have to die and that I have to stand before God. That becomes reality. I think the one may have more of that fear than the other. We know that some are led in more evangelical way and others so close to the thunder of the Sinai that they were in heavy terrors. So there is difference in depth and length, but they all will begin to see the reality. They stand on the brink of a ravine. And any moment they can sink into an eternal perdition. And such people sometimes don't dare to go to sleep because they are afraid that he will wake up in hell. That becomes reality, friends. And therefore, if the question is, are God's people concerned about going to hell? I say yes, they are going concerned about it. So the one may have the more fears and more anxiety about it than the other, yes. But when it says, or to be restored in God's favor, then I say, no, that's not so. It is not the one or the other. It is both. And then it may be that in the beginning, the question is more pressing, how will I escape the punishment and how will I stand before a righteous God? And that later on, the question becomes more pressing, how will I be restored into his favor? But I believe that though in the beginning sometimes the fear may have the upper hand, that in the very beginning there is already that sweet drawing of the soul to God. How can I see that in this man? His face is already looking at that celestial city in that direction. His life has been turned around. That is not a fear which did it, but that is the Lord to it. When Bunyan sees him in his dream, he sees him standing with looking away from all that was precious to him and looking up or looking toward an unknown future, but in the direction which the Lord has already turned him to. His face is, as it were, as traveling toward Jerusalem, though he doesn't see that. He only feels that heavy burden. So there is that drawing already toward the Lord and a longing to be restored into the favor of God. So I will not say either or, but both. But then so that you can see in the Pilgrim's Progress that this is a little bit a biography of himself. There is a lot of facts in this book, which are derived from his own experience. And as I said, when Bunyan came by Mr. Gifford under the preaching, and then he was for a long time close to the Sinai, to the thunder of the righteous wrath of God. And then the devil was extremely busy in order to try to destroy him and to, as it were, prevent that he one day will be a preacher. Now, that has put a stamp on his writing. And I think if you hear ministers or children of God, then you will hear a little bit the difference, that the one has been led deeper or more longer, has stayed longer by the Sinai than others. And it is also so that, also true that what the one learns in the beginning, others have to learn sometimes deeper later. My father, I think he has learned a lot in his life of the judgments of God and of the attacks of the devil in a terrible way. The Lord, the devil also knew that he had to preach, and we know that. But the devil tried to close his mouth, and it was sometimes a wonder that he came to the pulpit. Yeah, we have no idea of that, how that is, you know. Saturday, tomorrow is Sunday, and the minister will have his sermons ready, and hope it goes a little bit, but we don't know what goes before it. I remember that a student, in that first time, then the Lord allures, it was sometimes so easy. Oh, and not always, but many times. And then there were some women waiting outside, and he once said, oh, this is something, if it goes so easy, and what a wonderful work. Oh, she thought, yes, she was a little jealous, that she could not preach. And that's not wrong, you know. You can say, oh, that's precious. But I said, yeah, but you don't know what went before this. I'm talking about my father, but I think all God's servants will learn something of that. Go sometimes through quite deep storms to the pulpit. The devil knows that, yeah. And sometimes it seems as if he knows if the Lord is going to make it easy the next day. Then the Saturdays are the heaviest. And, well, your loved ones know it, perhaps, and they who understand you. But so he went through many heaviness and trials. But when he spoke about how the Lord began to work, he said, "Yeah, no, there were not those terrible fears of hell." He was drawn in a sweeter, evangelical way. He saw the preciousness of God's people and God's work and God's service. Don't open his eyes for that. And he missed that. And that began to draw his heart. His girlfriend was converted, my mother, and he was unconverted. And that began to become reality. And that began to be something that he missed, the pressing missing, and he began to long for it, but not the thunder of the Sinai. While others may stay close to Sinai and are under the heavy thunder of the law, there is difference, and you can see in this Pilgrim's Progress that Bunyan has been led through deep convictions before the Lord set him free. So I would say there's difference in the leadings, and some may first learn a lot of hell and fear for the wrath to come and a lot of attacks of the devil, and others not so much, but all of them will learn to know something of that longing to be restored in God's favor. Another point is that man, a pilgrim, he was not only afraid for the wrath, but he also cried to his wife and children, "I'm so distressed because that burden that makes me so tired, that make me so extremely tired. I cannot bear it. I cannot go on with it. Not only that the city will be turned upside down, but sin became a burden to him, and he began to be wearied of sin. And that's something that an unregenerated person doesn't know. As sin may be a little bit troublesome to him because of the convictions or what people say of it, but or the punishment that may come on it, but sin itself is no burden. But this man is standing there with his face toward Jerusalem with a burden, scarlet sin on his back, and with his clothes being rent. And when he then hears that there is light, and he gets a glimpse, then he knows all what he feels on his back, and all sees around him is death. But there he says, life, life, eternal life. Is that not a happy people, friends, that may know that eternal life, that have gone through that gate? And so there are many trials yet after going through that gate, but who are on the way to that city. Where are you going, friend? I hope that pilgrim may get some companions, not only Pliable and some other people who go for a while, or Obstinate who tries to keep him back, but some companions during this season. And then we may talk a little bit with Pilgrim, and that he may talk to us, and that we may feel a little bit one with him, and that we may be taken along, as it were, by the Spirit on that same way. No one can miss it. No one can do without it. And there is light. You may hear it from the pulpit. May the Lord open your eyes, and may he bring it into our hearts. Well, let us now sing together then from 84, Psalter 84, that is about the way. He doesn't know the way to, but the Lord says, I will graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go. And with my eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know, but be ye not unruly or slow to understand. Be not perverse, but willing to heed my wise command, and the sorrows of the wicked in number shall abound. 1 and 2 of 84. let us now close with prayer. Lord of heaven and of the earth, we were together in this evening with these friends, and we heard a little portion of the life of Pilgrim and how he stood there with filthy garments, how he stood there with his face turned away from his house and his loved ones and all that was precious to him, how he stood there with a book in his hand and also with a burden on his back, and how he began to read that book and how he wept. Oh Lord, there he did not read the Bible, but the Bible began to read him. And there thou began to speak to him, and he cried out, "What must I do?" All just like the man on Pentecost Day. Lord, well thou give that a cry may also be heard amongst us, that it might be heard in heaven, that younger or older people may begin to cry, "What must I do to be saved?" We have heard, Lord, that there is love in the heart of such a one to thee, but also to loved ones. Then we cannot leave our loved ones alone either, that we begin to warn them, to call them, because they are also in danger. Oh Lord, that our children had such parents in whom they could see the reality of what they confess. Now we have also heard, Lord, that there was an evangelist. When Christian was walking there in deep distress, not knowing where to turn and where to go, that thou sent evangelist. And now thou hast sent us to our congregation here. Oh Lord, may it be also that we might meet such souls who don't know the way. There are many people in our days who know everything very well. But Lord, and it's good to be very much acquainted with the truth, but may we also meet those who don't know the way to thee, who need an evangelist, who may teach them and point them to that gate, point them to that holy name, to that holy Savior. And even if we don't see him yet then, if he is a hidden person for us, but when that word is opened and we may point to that light, that there is laid help upon one that is mighty, who is able and willing to deliver, how does the soul begin to look for more light, to come to that place, to learn to know him, to come to that gate. Lord, may we be used in thy hand also for the instruction of souls who have lost the way and don't know how to find it. And Lord, and there will also be instruction for thy people. Oh, they're often also going astray. They also need to be taught and instructed, and that thou also might use us for that purpose. Lord, wilt thou thyself be our teacher. And, oh Lord, he left his wife and children behind. They did not understand him. They did not see the danger. They even laughed at him. Or maybe the unconverted amongst us will not laugh at the preaching or at the teaching of thy word, but they are also blind. They also don't see the danger. They also sleep well and eat well and have pleasure and fun and whatever. But Lord, wilt thou yet pluck brands from the burning and open the eyes of many others, so that pilgrim, that Christian, may get companions on his way, not who hold him up, but those who may go with him. Remember us, O Lord. Help us further from day to day, also at the Sabbath day. And Lord, give that thy word may have dominion, that a book may be in many hands. No, that it may be in our hands, not just somewhere in our house, but in our hand, to read it, to search it, to eat it, and that a word may be a power of God unto salvation. So we commend each other unto thee. Bring us safely home. May we acknowledge thee for the hour that thou hast given unto us together. And if there was something from thee, wilt thou bless it. Remember us, forgive the shortcomings. Spread out thy wings over us in the night. Be with the lonely ones who come in an empty house, and fill thou fulfill all our needs in glory. We ask thee for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Good night.